Branch address 12060 Bayonne Street, Suite 2, Jacksonville, Florida, 32224.
Discussions in the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. A registered investment advisor, Cambridge and ECM Group are not affiliated.
Welcome to the ExitCoachRadio.com network and the Retirement Matters Radio Show, where you can hear cutting-edge ideas and strategies to help you plan ahead for your retirement years. Every week, we interview top advisors, authors, and business owners to help you plan with clarity and confidence. And now, here's your host, Buck Blanton.
Well, thank you, Spike, for that introduction, and welcome friends and listeners to our show, the Retirement Matters Radio Show. I'm your host, Buck Blanton. We want to jump right in with our first guest, Wes Wood, CEO and President of Wood Financial Group in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Wes, how are you today?
Hey, Buck. Doing great. How are you today?
Great. Great to have you back on the show. I guess everything up there is looking good for getting football season off to a great start, and you've got everything ready back at Ole Miss for us to have a repeat of last season, right?
Boy, I hope so. We're looking forward to it. I'm headed to Oxford next weekend and excited to have a fun fall and hopefully make another big bowl game. But it's a tough conference overall.
Oh, the SEC West is brutal, and you guys have to play each other every week just about. So it's good to have a couple of games on the schedule that maybe you take a breather on.
Yeah. There's two of them right off the bat, and then you go into Tuscaloosa, Alabama for our third game, and that's one of the defining moments of the season. So it should be exciting. But you're right, it's a tough conference, but we look forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, we wanted to talk a little bit about employer matches and how employees of companies are missing out on some of those dollars, and I think one of the current things, and I'll let you go into that a little bit more, is around $24 billion that these employees are leaving on the table.
Yeah, that's right, Buck. And we're seeing this just more and more where employees of employers that offer benefit programs, and when we talk about a benefit program, an employer-sponsored benefit program, we're saying like 401ks, 457s, defined benefit programs. There's some other ones that are available out there, and unfortunately what we're seeing is that a lot of employees are not getting the most out of their contributions. They could be contributing more and getting a match, and it's a staggering number. It's $24 billion that employers are willing to match that employees are just simply not putting enough in order to get that full matching.
Well, that's a staggering number, as you mentioned. And what do you think contributes to that, Wes?
Well, you know, it's probably a lot of different things, but one area is that I don't believe employees are educated enough about their program and how it works. You know, when somebody joins a new company or somebody's been with the company, they know that there is a 401k out there somewhere. They put money into it like they're supposed to, and then they just, you know, in some cases put kind of a bare minimum, but don't realize that they could potentially be getting one of the best ways to invest their money, which is a match. And what a match is you know, when you put a dollar in, the employer is going to automatically match a dollar. And so essentially it's like 100% return on your investment as soon as you put the money in there. So you've got more dollars that go working for you. And in most cases, when somebody joins a company that has one of these programs, they don't really understand exactly how it works. They may get a postcard in the mail, or they get a huge binder or a big prospectus that, you know, spells everything out. But the likelihood of somebody combing through all of that to understand every little nuance of their employer sponsor plan is very low. They just kind of go into work, make their contributions, and go about their way.
Well, let's talk about that for just a minute, because I think you're right on the education piece. What can we do better to help educate these employees? Because, like you said, I think the employer sometimes looks at it like, well, we sent the book to them, and I'm not sure what else we can do. What can we do to help these employees understand that match and how to take advantage of it?
Well, you know, I think the first thing is just employees and really individuals out there that are saving for retirement need to know, first of all, you know, what is this money for? What are they doing? Why are they putting money into this program? And what we're seeing just overall is that there is a huge shortfall of people having enough money saved up for retirement. As a matter of fact, the average amount of folks that are getting into retirement only have about $100,000 saved up in a 401k, 457 retirement savings program, which simply is going to be a substantial shortfall on producing enough income for them in retirement. And a lot of people think that they may be able just to live off of Social Security, but for most folks, that's only maybe a third of their need of income when they are retired. So that's the first thing, is that folks just need to be educated. How much money do they need to be putting away for retirement in order to, you know, hit their goals? Then the next step is, where's the best place for that money to go? In most cases, if you're lucky enough, or if you're able to have an employer offer one of these programs, which actually, you know, this is kind of rare in the employment world out there. Only about one in four companies have some type of employer-sponsored program, and so that's the first thing. So if your employer does have an employer-sponsored program, the next step is that, you know, just having an understanding of how it works, and if they're putting money back for retirement, why is that the best place to go? Because they get, again, that match. It comes out of their paycheck, so essentially they don't see it. I know a lot of people like that. They say, well, you know, if I don't see it, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. And so when I get that direct deposit in my bank account to live off of every month, it's already been deducted and it's already been thrown into an account for a retirement down the road. And I think employers are getting a little bit better on educating their employees on the benefit packages that are out there, because employers offer these types of plans, one, to entice folks to come to their company, but also to keep them. And so employers know that, hey, we're spending all this money, we're setting these types of plans up, and it's adding value as an employee of the company. I think employers should, you know, embrace that and say, hey, here's this plan that we have out here for you, and we're going to give you all this kind of stuff. We're going to give you this free money as long as you put money into it. And if you put enough money into this program, then you're going to be able to retire at this date out there in the future and put more of a plan together for them.
I think that's a great point. Let me ask you a question. One of the things that we typically look at and hear with employers is that they really feel like the service providers are taking care of them and doing all these things for them, not only from enrollment to education to fiduciary responsibility. How do we get the employer to be a little more proactive and to take more action in this process?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times whenever we're talking to employers about their 401k programs, that's the first thing we want to know is how's the service? How's the service are they that they're receiving from their plan administrator or whoever their advisor is on the 401k? And if they're maybe not giving an adequate amount of service, it could be a good time to shop around out there, look at other plans, look at other companies that offer a program, because yes, a lot of employers do kind of depend on that that third party administrator or that advisor just to educate their folks. So if the employer kind of wants to, you know, step out of that a little bit, then they need to make sure they hire somebody that's going to manage their 401k. That is going to take the next step and educate their employees. And in a lot of cases, it's just kind of set up and I don't want to say forgotten about, but it's there and it's going on, but there's not, you know, that extra level of service that that advisor could be able to offer.
Absolutely. We're talking with Wes Wood of Hendersonville, Tennessee. Wes, we're going to take a break just for a second. When we come back, I want to talk maybe about some tools that plans have that maybe we can offer to some of these plan sponsors to help this process of getting these employees to do a little bit more. Hang on with us and we'll be right back. Okay.
Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach, and let's face it, handing over the reins of a business that you've been running for years is an emotional thing for sellers, and you want to know that your baby is in good hands. There's a company out there called Delta Business Services that's created a process to create certainty for a successful business exit, and you ought to know about it. Heath Bronson at Delta Business Services is someone that you ought to talk to. They've created a strategy that will take the uncertainty and the worry out of your business exit because they will buy your business and help with the transition and the transfer of the business. That's right, at Delta Business Services, they'll make sure that your exit strategy is pain and worry-free with their common-sense personal approach. To find out more information, you just got to go to their website and check it out. It's at deltabusinessservices.com. That's deltabusinessservices.com. Or contact Heath Bronson at 210-369-4161. That's 210-369-4161.
Welcome back, friends and listeners. We're here with Wes Wood, founder, president, and CEO of Wood Financial Group in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And Wes, before we went to break, I wanted to maybe mention, and I think I did, that there are some tools that plans today have, if they're working with a fairly well-recognized service provider, that can help this process of not missing out on the match and some of the other issues that are going with employees not really utilizing all they can in the plan. Tell us a little bit about those tools.
Yeah, well, there's several of them out there, but if you think of some of the large name 401k providers, in most cases they'll have some kind of calculator tool that'll show you here's how much your wages are, here's as a percentage of match the employer will give. For example, a lot of employers by default give a 3% match dollar for dollar. So if you have $100,000 income, they'll give you $3,000, assuming that you contribute $3,000. Some employers will actually go up to 6% dollar for dollar, or 50% of every dollar above 3% up to 6%. So in that example, maybe $100,000 salary, if you contribute $6,000, they'll contribute $6,000, meaning that'll put $12,000 in a retirement program for you that is now invested. That's the first thing, is there will be calculation tools out there that's available typically on the websites now through the programs, where you can actually just spend some time on there, do some research, which I definitely advise folks to do, just to get a better understanding of, are you heading the right way, are you getting the most matching? And then the other side of it is you can figure out about how much income you think you're going to need for retirement, and some of these tools, assuming a reasonable rate of return, we'll calculate how much money you need to be putting into a program as an employee in order to hit your goals of retirement.
I think that's a great point, because we used to have programs that told you exactly how much you would be able to take out per month in retirement, defined benefit programs, as opposed to today's 401ks and cash balance plans that are more defined contribution oriented. And that employee, you mentioned something earlier that I wanted to bring up here. That employee, when they see $120,000 to $130,000 to $150,000 in their account, they think, wow, I've done a great job, and boy, do I need to keep putting more money in this, or I've got six figures put away for retirement. That sounds like a big number, but when we turn it around and say, what is that going to do in 20 to 30 years of retirement on a monthly basis for you? What is that going to pay you? I think it would be very difficult without some of these calculators that you mentioned, that they really wouldn't understand that, would they?
No, it would not. And just to put it in perspective and take that even further, and whenever we're sitting down with somebody, we want to understand what is their monthly need of income and what is their monthly expenses, because in order to have a successful retirement, it really just comes down, in most cases, to income, making sure you've got more coming in every month than going out, and then adjust it for inflation. It's really just that simple. So if somebody says they need to get, let's just say $5,000 a month after tax of income coming in retirement to cover all their expenses and do everything they want to do, and let's just assume that Social Security is going to cover half of that, well, then you got to ask yourself, well, where's the difference going to come from, that $2,500? And so you want to kind of use that, and these calculators that are available will kind of back into that number just by kind of a rule of thumb or a 30,000 foot view down, every $100,000 that's in a retirement program like a 401k, at a 4% distribution rate or 4% income draw, is going to give you $4,000 a year, or roughly $350 per month of income. So like you said, $100,000 seems like a lot of money, but when you break it down to what's the purpose of this money, to provide an income in retirement, if it's only going to give you $350 a month of income, add that to your Social Security, that could be a significant shortfall on the need for the client or the employee.
Boy, I sure hope they enjoy eating beans in retirement or ate everything off that they possibly could and now don't have much of a need for income, because that sure doesn't do much, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I think if people are younger, when they get started, if they can get started younger, that's fantastic. Every dollar that you can put in your younger years is just going to let those dollars grow quicker. Have a understanding of how their employer-sponsored programs work. Take advantage of those matches, no matter how much you need to scrunch and save, because it's a lot harder to catch up in those last few years before retirement than it is in those first years when you are working.
Absolutely. Over the last few years, Wes, a couple of other tools have come out that some companies like and some don't, but I would like to go through it a little bit and let you explain it. So our plan sponsors, our 50-plus-year-old business owners out there, understand these. These would be auto-enrollment and auto-escalation. Can you tell us a little bit about how that might work in a plan?
Yeah, so, auto-enrollment, it's about 65% of companies have auto-enrollment, so whenever you're with an employer, 65% of the employees automatically are enrolled in the program, which has tripled since 2006. And then the default rate of a match is about 3%. The other thing is that as an employer is older, you can contribute up to, under the age of 49 years old, you can put in $18,000 a year of your own dollars into a 401k and get that basically that tax write-off. And if you're over the age of 49 years old, you're able to put in another $6,000, so get you up to $24,000 a year of contributions.
That's fabulous. And the auto-enrollment, just so we help them also understand, that might get an employee into the plan, but it also isn't an automatic. That employee very typically can opt out on the front end before that goes in. So it's not like you're just taking their money and making them do it. Is that correct?
That's correct. So it is an option to opt out, which some employees decide to do. But at least it kind of gets them to where, that employee now is automatically enrolled into the plan.
And that's fantastic, because maybe they wouldn't take action on their own. And we find a lot of Americans will do something automatically where they won't necessarily do it with their own initiative.
Right. Yeah, it is kind of getting people not forced into doing it, but I think it is a positive feature, because, if we did not do that, quite a few employees would be not contributing at all, which would be just adding to that larger shortfall of folks that when they do get to retirement are going to be on that rice and beans diet.
Exactly. Well, tell us a little bit now about auto escalation that typically is a complement to go right along with that auto enrollment.
Yeah, and so as an auto escalation, and I'm not as familiar with it, but my understanding is that every year, as an employer or as an employee is with the company, or as they continue to age, they'll automatically increase the contribution amounts of the employee as they're getting raises or as they're getting more money from the employer as a paycheck. So it'll automatically increase the amount of money that they're putting into their 401k plan.
That's excellent. So they may auto-enroll us into the plan and start us at a certain number, maybe 1, mm-hmm. 2, 5, 6%. But then to maybe capture the entire match that we might get, we might have an auto-escalation, maybe a 1% per year, that would go into the plan to help us get up to the match where, again, we might not do it on our own.
Correct. Yep. So it'll be, typically up to 10% of employee salaries. It will go up on that auto escalation amount.
Absolutely. Excellent. Well, Wes, if you would, please give us the ways that our listeners can get to you and contact you and find out more about your company.
Yeah, thanks, Buck. Well, you know, here at Wood Financial Group, we're located in Hendersonville, Tennessee, which is based 20 miles north of Nashville downtown, and we also have another office in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. But you can reach us at woodfinancialgroup.net and also give us a call at 615-826-5749. Our website, woodfinancialgroup.net, has a lot of those useful retirement calculators and a whole lot of other good stuff on there that you may be able to play around with to help you, you know, get to your financial goals.
And folks, I'm gonna suggest you give Wes a call or go to his website and start that process, because what we find out is people are not saving enough for retirement and they're not taking advantage of that match or that free money from the employer. So, Wes, thank you again, and love having you on the show always.
Thanks, Buck. Take care. Have a great day.
No problem. We'll be right back and have our next guest, Greg Melia. We'll be back in just a moment. Hang on.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the show for age 50-plus business owners. We're interviewing over 250 professional advisors for their tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new 20-minute interviews and 1-minute highlights every day at ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Well, welcome back, listeners. We wanted to go ahead and bring in our next guest, Greg Melia of Melia Advisory Group. Greg, how are you today?
I am well. Thank you, Buck. How are you?
Fantastic. Great to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about Melia Advisory Group.
Melia Advisory Group, we're focused really on, right now we don't think the market is where somebody wants to be in right now, so we're risk adverse at this point, and really want to grow it. When you have a high volatility, most people don't realize it today, the S&P 500 currently is only up 25% in the last 15 years. If you divide that out by 15 years, you'll find out you don't get a whole lot. And so, and we're just repeating history that this is, we've had our fourth one of a lot of high volatility, no growth markets, the fourth one in the last 100 years. And we're just repeating history at this point. We're waiting for the, actually, we believe a significant drop is about to happen. So we're not too big on the stock market right now. Now, that doesn't mean that will change in time, but.
Well, absolutely. It's absolutely been a cyclical process for years and years and years, has it not?
Really is. I think the thing that people are surprised to find is that history repeats itself. Yeah, I mean, not surprised about that, but surprised at that the history that this is the fourth one of just we have a lot of volatility and really just never end up with much growth. You know, we were up with 25% in the last 15 years, and that's with the Fed printing an unprecedented amount of money. And if it wasn't for that, I didn't think we'd be up that 25%. And I think we're getting ready to give that back up as we speak. So market's again down today. Ever since it broke the high, it's been, you know, consistently going down now for some, you know, for this last month.
Absolutely. Well, our topic today was, and I want to let you have time to go through these, are 7 money moves you should make or consider before you turn 25. And I want to give you plenty of time to go through that even after our commercial break. But that's a group that we really need to talk to, isn't it? That group 25, say 22 to 30, somewhere in there, because we've kind of ignored them in a lot of the processes as we go through it with a lot of emphasis on the baby boomers. So help us, if you will, there and tell us some of the moves this group can make.
Well, one is the realization, a lot of times, kids, you know, I call them kids now because I'm old enough to do that, that they exit the home and they think they really got to have everything that mom had right away. So the first mistake is they tend to go into debt to buy cars, furniture, whatever it may be. And that's, in my opinion, mistake number one. So choice number one is you just do not go into debt. I mean, you've got to make sure, and you have to stay, it's so tempting today. Most people don't realize that in 2009, the federal government took over the college loan programs, and basically the private sector went away, and they made it a lot easier to make loans. So the impact here is they knew it was kind of a quantitative easing on the sly, they knew that college students would spend the money. So they made the loans, and it was, you know, again, it was quantitative easing. They knew if they got the money to the young people, the young people would tend to spend that money, and therefore hopefully spur the economy was the idea behind it. So you saw college tuitions just mount substantially because the amount of money that was chasing the colleges was high, and they created a little bit of a bubble there. So a lot of kids already have a lot of debt. And that's, you know, if you're in college right now, the first thing, whatever you can do to avoid going into debt, you know, so I know everybody says you got to do it in 4 years. I ask why. Why not slow it down and do it at a pace where you don't take on the debt? To me, that's a real cancer, because most marriages, the biggest argument is always money. So two kids exiting college getting married today, generally speaking, have substantial college debt to start with. And then they start applying, you know, buying cars. And so just rule number one, do your best to stay out of debt. Save the money first and don't go into debt. Number two is really about just making a decision to save. I'll never forget a couple that came into my office. They were in their close to 80s at this point. And she told me, she said, when my husband got out of the military, he was about 24 at that time. She said, we are going to save 10%. Well, at that time, believe it or not, Buck, that was $5 a month. This was back in the, you know, many, many years ago. And she told me, she said, you know, I was really, really mad at him for telling me that we were going to save every month. She looked at me, kind of sat back, and she said, you know, but I have to tell you, he was right, because today they're sitting on $3 million. So the first dedication is to save. No matter what, you put that money aside and save. If you put money aside and you save, when opportunities come your way, maybe to start a business or to buy a piece of property or to maybe be a little entrepreneurial in some fashion, then you've got the cash to do it. If you spend every paycheck, then you're going to miss out on a lot of what life opportunities that may come your way, just because you don't have the money and you're living paycheck to paycheck.
Absolutely. Great advice.
The, you know, I don't want to take all your time, Buck, here. I just want to make sure that, you know, interject if you need me to pause here. So that second one is, you know, the third one is, and, you know, when people will tell me I can't really afford to save, and the question I like to ask them, Buck, is real simple. If your life depended on it, in other words, your very breath depended on you saving money, would you find a way to save? You know the funny answer to that is? Answer is always yes. You're telling
Absolutely.
Me if my next breath depends on me saving, I will figure I won't have the cell phone, I will drop the cable bill. You know, and suddenly they start finding money. That there's one of the things I try to teach my children today is they always use the word need. I need. And my correction is you need food, water, shelter. Everything else is a want. And that whole need word gets abused today. So I wanted to teach them. So it's about what needs are, making a commitment to save no matter what. Which leads me to the next thing is you really need to have a budget. If you don't have a budget, you're not going to save, almost guaranteed. Unless you do something through a 401k, which is possible. But you still want a budget because you need to save outside the 401k as well. So, and then the next one is really if you're involved at work, it amazes me the number of people that I run into that are not participating in their 401k with the free matching. It just, I can't, you know, how do you pass up on free money? And that's what I tell them. How in the world do you pass up on free money? Well, it's usually I've got this or that and I can't afford to do it. And I'm saying, you can't afford not to do it. See, again, it's about what priority do you put first? You've got to save money, you know, for you to provide for your future. And also not to miss on the opportunities we missed about.
Absolutely. Greg, hold on to 6 and 7. We're going to take a commercial break and we'll be right back. But I do want to hear those and also want to make a point about that missing out on that match. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach, and let's face it, handing over the reins of a business that you've been running for years is an emotional thing for sellers, and you want to know that your baby is in good hands. There's a company out there called Delta Business Services that's created a process to create certainty for a successful business exit, and you ought to know about it. Heath Bronson at Delta Business Services is someone that you ought to talk to. They've created a strategy that will take the uncertainty and the worry out of your business exit because they will buy your business and help with the transition and the transfer of the business. That's right, at Delta Business Services, they'll make sure that your exit strategy is pain and worry-free with their common sense personal approach. To find out more information, you just got to go to their website and check it out. It's at deltabusinessservices.com. That's deltabusinessservices.com. Or contact Heath Bronson at 210-369-4161. That's 210-369-4161.
Welcome back, friends and listeners. We wanted to get right back to the last parts of the list that Greg had given us, Greg Melia of Melia Advisory Group. And Greg, I wanted to make one point about that match. A lot of people make a lot of comments and go to a lot of parties and do a lot of things to talk about what kind of return they're getting on their 401k or their investments. And I think they, like you said, they completely ignore the fact that it's either 100% or 50% right off the bat with the match that they're getting in their plan, but they don't talk about that.
I couldn't agree more, and don't forget the tax savings. Generally speaking, you don't have much in the way of tax deductions at that age. So, you know, if you're in a relatively decent income, you're talking another 15, 20% saved on those dollars. So it's, you know, just 100% up on the match, and then the 15, 20% from the federal and the state tax savings is just unthinkable to miss that. So anybody sitting out there not taking advantage of the 401k and the free money, I highly encourage you to do that. You'll be absolutely amazed at what happens after a couple of years and those matching funds are coming in. You know, just it just is imperative that you take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
The history as well as I, Buck, is, you know, originally, you know, back in the early 80s, everybody used pension programs. And so they went away from the pension programs just for administration ease and simplicity for the employer and puts the demand more on the employee. And it works great if somebody will take advantage of it. But as you know, there's a gap out there and growing. The number of people that aren't participating in these retirement plans is really a shame because, you know, that's going to leave them without any help when they go to retire. And, you know, and you know, here's the other sad fact too, Buck, is I see this with the retirees. Most of them really don't start saving until they're in their 50s, after the kids exit the home, too busy spending all the money. The few of those that come into my office that have been saving consistently since their 20s are always worth a lot more money, always. If they'll just develop a good habit, and that really is one of my, you know, this all speaks to having a good habit, a habit of saving money. There's good habits and there's bad habits, and we can have to choose both, and this is one where you choose no matter what, again, as if your life depended on it, you're going to save money.
Absolutely. Tell us number six.
Well, the good habit was one of them. The last one that I wanted to go over with was you can help pay for this, and this is what I, you know, what I have my young people do. I'll look at them taking a couple extra. So if they're not taking the max, at a minimum, they should take the max. Take the minimum that gets the max on the matching. That's just, you know, not take that free money is, but they really need to go beyond that. They really need to be saving at a minimum of 10% a year. And what I like to do is set a goal with them is let's get that to 10% right away, and then let's increase that by, you know, 1% a year until you hit that max. And what people find out is that as they adjust to that, they realize that, wow, it really isn't, it's not that hard. You just simply, you don't eat out as much. You know, maybe you don't, there's a couple things, you maybe not have the coffee every day. Little things can really add up in a big way. And again, that's the purpose of the budget. But what I want to do a lot of times to help them pay for that is to take a few extra deductions on their W-9 forms. So this will help offset. So they don't want to put a bunch of money, keep the taxes the same as if they're not, and in the year get money back. They can go ahead and take advantage of the tax early and not wait till the end and use that to help pay to fund the 401k currently. If somebody does that, often they're surprised between the tax savings and the W-9 increase in deductions. They find that the amount actually missing on their paycheck is not as bad as they might think.
You may want to go into that a little bit deeper, Greg, because I think people, they mistakenly understand in their mind that when they get that W-9, they look at it and they don't think of it when they put 0 or 1. If they're single and they're thinking about themselves and they put 1, all the money that comes out, it's just a tool to gauge how much money comes out to be withheld. Sometimes putting, my wife and a child, so I put 3, they could have put 5 or 6 and didn't realize that because maybe their HR department didn't explain it to them.
That's really true. And then the other sad fact is they'll get used to that big check at the end, and they look at it as a forced savings account, so at the end of the year they have a big spending spree when they get the check from the government. And I'm not about giving the government interest-free loans. I'm going to be paying their fair share, but interest-free loans are not something that I want to do. So I want to – you're exactly right. You look at the W-9 as a – it's going to gauge how much taxes that you need to withhold. So if you look at your tax bracket – and you look at what your taxes actually do at the end of the year, you can increase it by maybe 1 or 2 deductions, then look again or talk to your tax advisor and get a projection. If you withhold a certain amount of income each year, like 10%, then what would be the taxes due on that? And then get your W-9 and start increasing your deductions until you get to that level. And this way, you'll take advantage of the tax deduction up front. It won't be as hard on your budget, and you can start the saving process today and not put it off for another day, which I think is really critical.
Greg, another great idea. If you would, give our listeners the ways that they can reach you and contact you, or a website if possible.
The best way is at the website at meliaadvisorygroup.com. That's M-E-L-I-A, advisory, A-D-V-I-S-O-R-Y, group.com. There's some videos out there that...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There's also some additional information out there that refers to when we originally started the conversation about market histories and where we're at with the stock market right now.
Fantastic. If you would, folks, please go see Greg's website, Melia Advisory Group. Some great ideas, 7 of them to be exact, money moves that 25-year-olds should make or around that age at some aspect. Greg, again, great information. Thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome, Buck. Thank you for having me.
And we look forward to it again. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the show for age 50-plus business owners. We're interviewing over 250 professional advisors for their tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new 20-minute interviews and 1-minute highlights every day at ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.